I remember during the 2001, I think it was 2001, there was a big, I guess you could call it debate in Michigan about drilling under the Great Lakes. Not putting one of those wellheads out there in the middle of Lake Michigan, but inland, drilling straight down and then slanting over and going underneath the bedrock. And a lot of people had, I think, false perceptions of what that involved. There was a lot of political pressure, and Michigan, in the end, instituted a ban on any drilling under the Great Lakes. There is at least one person saying maybe we ought to lift that ban for a number of reasons. Former head of the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality, the MDEQ, Russ Harding, who is now a director of the Mackinac Center's Property Rights Network, used to be their environmental policy analyst, is joining us on the telephone right now. Good morning, Mr. Harding.
Yeah, good morning, Ron. How are you?
Fine, thanks. Well, you know, with a call to drill under the Great Lakes, probably you could get chased out of certain parts of town with that kind of idea.
Well, it may have been true in the 90s. I'm not so sure today with gasoline, you know, hovering around $4 a gallon. I think public opinion has changed on that. In fact, I remember the debate when it was banned. Some of the legislators that voted for banning it said, well, we're not sure we should do this, but it's always there and maybe we'll need to use it later.
I remember I had heard years after that ban that some lawmakers did not want to vote for a ban, but the political pressure, they said, was so great. The rhetoric was so great that they figured they'd lose their seat if they did not vote to ban drilling under the Great Lakes, even though they said the science supported the fact that you could do that, be relatively risk-free. What do you think led to the ban on drilling under the Great Lakes back in 2000?
I think that was exactly it, Ron. It was politics, unfortunately not sound science. In fact, corroborating what you just said, I had a call from a legislator who I'd worked with over the years when I was director of DEQ, and he called me the day before the vote and said, Russ, I want to apologize. And I said, what for? And he said, well, I want to apologize because I'm going to vote for this ban, although I know it's the wrong thing to do, but we've determined it's good politics. So I think there was it was easy. You know, gas prices were low. It was easy to demagogue this issue from environmentalists and others that claimed it was unsafe. And so it was a safe thing to do politically, but it was the wrong thing to do from a technical and scientific perspective. In fact, we have successfully drilled eight wells directionally, as you mentioned earlier, not in the Great Lakes, but away from the Great Lakes, underneath in the 80s and back in about the mid-90s. Oil companies had come, of course, oil was only about $40 a barrel then, had come and asked if, or said they were interested in actually drilling. I discussed that with then-Governor John Engler, and we decided that we'd go to the Michigan Environmental Science Board, which is a group of scientists mainly out of our universities, to pose that question, is it safe? And, of course, they did a report, came back to us a few months later and said, yes, it is safe. Any threat at all would only be at the wellhead, and then they listed a number of precautions to take to ensure that there wouldn't be a problem at the wellhead, and so we started to move forward, and then, of course, the legislature banned it.
All right, and prior to that, you said there were eight slant drills, slant wells, I guess, being drilled successfully. Is there any other drilling? I keep hearing about Canada has a drilling out in Lake, I guess, Ontario or Lake Erie.
Yeah, what's interesting is on the Canadian side, they actually drill within the Great Lakes. Now, we do not do that in the United States side, and I wouldn't advocate that we should. But Canada drills for natural gas right in the lakes. Of course, don't do that in Michigan, but slant drilling is a pretty common practice. There's about, in Michigan, roughly 2,000 wells that are drilled directionally or slant drilled. In fact, I used to be chief of the Michigan State Park System, and I wouldn't allow drilling within the parks, didn't want the oil rigs in on state parks for obvious reasons, but we did allow the oil wells to come in directionally off of the parks. One thing that people may not remember or realize, but our natural resources in Michigan benefit from oil and gas because a portion of that money goes into the Natural Resource Trust Fund,
which has bought a lot of property, especially northern Michigan's benefited from that greatly, property or improvement to state parks and state land. All right. So you are now. Are you actually? Are you just writing about this, or do you think you'll formally ask somebody to introduce a bill to overturn the ban? Or what do you think about this idea of slant drilling under the Great Lakes?
Well, you know, at Mackinac Center, we're an educational outfit, and we try to influence public policy from an educational perspective, so we don't get into, you know, sponsoring legislation. However, there have been several legislators that have contacted me and are interested in introducing something to reverse that ban. It would take state legislation. But in addition, we'd also have to lift a federal moratorium. Congressman Stupak was instrumental in getting a ban on that at the federal level also, so that would also have to be lifted. So it's, you know, it's a pretty steep hill to climb.
Okay. I want to paint a little picture of what slant drilling means so people can get out of their head. If you're listening right now and you think, oh, boy, a big they're going to go out with a barge and they're going to take a big old rusty pipe and run it through the water, and oil could come squirting up into the lakes. People have that's a wrong image. And then the other thing is talk about oil and natural gas, which people overlook, and see answer that argument where people say it wouldn't make a difference. There's not enough there.
Right.
But what would it look like? What is slant drilling? If you were going to slant drill into Lake Michigan, where would the actual wellhead be, and how far would you go down, and how does that work?
Well, there's what's called a Niagara Reef, and that's a geologic term for where the oil and gas is, and geologists know what's there, and it's about 4,000 feet underneath the Great Lakes, and that is a continuous rock, solid rock formation above that oil and gas, and if the oil and gas would have leaked, it would have already, you know, leaked into the Great Lakes, and it's that impermeable rock that's capped it. Now, when you slant drill, you come in from several miles away and come in at an angle. So there's a lot of distance you have to cover to go well underneath the Great Lakes. That is a steel pipe. It's encased. There's extensive state regulations that require that so that there's really no chance of any leakage. Then you have a wellhead. And one of the things the Science Board recommended is that wellhead needs to be at least one quarter of a mile away from the shore, so that if there ever was, if you have any risk of a leak, it would be at the well head. And of course, you don't want that anywhere near the Great Lakes, and you don't want to put it in the wetland, and you want to make sure everything is done according to regulation. With that, the risk is really approaching zero. And probably people in northern Michigan, I think, Ron, are familiar with seeing oil and gas rigs, you know, around.
Mm-hmm.
That area, and that's what you'd have, but it wouldn't certainly be near the Great Lakes, as opposed to some of the wind turbines that are being built and considered, which, you know, generally are pretty close to the shore.
Yeah, there's some, I think, near Ludington now, the Manistee here on National Forest, that are proposed. Somebody wants to build 20 to 28 wind turbines, which would be 42 stories high, which would be awful close to the shoreline there. But I have a lot of questions about wind. All right, but so the thing is you have a wellhead. It's a quarter mile away from the shore. You go straight down thousands of feet. Then you angle out and you go underneath the lake, not into the water, but they go to the bottom of Lake Michigan, and that's all rock, and you're going thousands of feet below that. So there's really no chance of the oil getting into the water or vice versa, which is amazing that the technology exists to do that, and that oil companies are willing to take the chance to do that, and that they actually can find a profit doing that, even back when they proposed it in the 90s. So now people say, well, okay, maybe the risk isn't that bad. But look, the situation we're in, whatever oil's there is not going to make a difference. It's a drop in the bucket. It's not going to lower gas prices. So what do you say when you hear that argument?
Well, what I say is we have to be real careful because we're heading for an energy crisis. And we need to, yeah, it's amazing to me, Ron, as I hear this debate, you know, drilling versus conservation. I say yes and yes. You're going to have to do it all. We need to conserve. We need to develop alternative energy. We need to invest in technology. But we're also going to need to drill and develop the oil and gas reserves we have, particularly as a bridge. If we don't, we could find ourselves with a different lifestyle, a different economy in this country, because it takes energy to move our goods and services. Our economy can't flourish without energy. And it's interesting, we use about 18 to 20 million barrels of oil a day in the United States. We only produce in our country about 5 of those. And so we're going to, and that production is declining. So this isn't a matter, you know, you hear about energy independence. As it relates to oil, that's kind of a pipe dream, especially in the next short term. Maybe way down the horizon that might be achievable, but you're not going to put wind sails on cars. You're not going to run them on pixie dust and hope. It's going to take an actual balanced energy policy to get the energy we need, and we're going to have to develop those resources we've got. You know, we're about the only country in the world that isn't doing that. I mean, as we debate about whether we should have a coal-fired power plant, while we're doing that, within 5 days, the Chinese will have built three of them. It's just amazing that we're obsessing over these things where the rest of the world's moving on.
All right, I want to give out our phone numbers before you go, see if people do have a question, as long as you're with us, and ask a few questions about natural gas, because we're really talking a lot about oil, and you know, which would be gasoline supply. Russ Harding is our guest. He's with the Mackinac Center for Public Policy, former environmental director there, environmental policy analyst now with the Property Rights Network within the Mackinac Center, and the former director of the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality. Questions about slant drilling or drilling under the lakes, you feel free to call us at 947-0023, 947-0023. Toll free, it's 800-817-0580. We'll take a quick break and come back and see if you have questions for Mr. Harding and ask a little bit about natural gas and maybe even wind energy on WTCM News Talk 580. What about natural gas? Is there as much of a shortage of that, or does it make? Don't you get natural gas when you drill for oil, and isn't there natural gas under the Great Lakes?
Yeah, that's right. And in fact, as more recent years, we've been producing a lot more natural gas than oil in Michigan, and that's a very important to our state. We produce roughly around 30% of what we use in Michigan right here. That's important. Otherwise, we have to export, you know, in from the Gulf Coast or other places, natural gas or from Canada into Michigan. Natural gas is, of course, the preferred home heating fuel for homes in Michigan. It's also some people don't realize, a very important feedstock for manufacturing and chemical plants, particularly like Dow Chemical in Midland. Much of their feedstock is natural gas. So to the extent that we can produce more and keep the price lower, that helps the utility bill of customers, residents, but it also helps business. And the other thing we didn't talk about around too much, but the economic impact of oil and gas development. Michigan's economy is in serious trouble. I just read in the paper today that the poverty rate is up in the state again. Our personal income is declining in Michigan. Geologists estimate that oil and gas extraction directionally drilled under the Great Lakes would probably be worth at least $3 or $4 billion. That money flows into the state coffers, and it also provides a lot of jobs.
And by the way, the companies, if they went after the gas and or oil under the Great Lakes, they would employ more people. There'd more economic activity wherever they stationed themselves. They would pay taxes on profits. And also the gas or oil they get from under the Great Lakes, they pay royalties on that?
That's correct. They pay, of course, the taxes, but there's an oil and gas severance tax. That's an important source of funding to the state. A portion of that is earmarked for the Natural Resource Trust Fund, and that is what the state uses to purchase land for public ownership, high-value recreational lands, and also can you be used for improvements in our state parks and state forests.
By the way, no, we talked yesterday on the radio here. Nancy Pelosi, House Speaker, has invested in T. Boone Pickens' idea of natural gas as fuel for cars.
Uh-huh.
And she's promoting natural gas, even though she didn't recognize it was a fossil fuel, but that's okay. But with the idea of, T. Boone Pickens is putting forth, let's have natural gas as a clean fuel for our cars. It wouldn't make sense to have more natural gas coming out of Michigan.
Well, it sure would. And, again, it's important and, you know, for heating homes. But I think natural gas, you hear a lot about using it, you know, for cars. There's probably some practical limits in terms of conversion costs and the infrastructure, but a lot of it could be used certainly for fleets. There's been some discussions that the over-the-road trucks could actually run on natural gas and get away from the use of diesel. And, of course, anything we can produce here in North America has some advantages of buying it from some people that may be hostile to our country.
All right, and I was going to ask you about transporting the oil. A lot of people said, look, maybe it would be good for our economy. Maybe you could suck a little oil out of the ground. We'd probably go through it in a few weeks, few months. Maybe you can get some natural gas. That's great. It's just simply not worth the risk. The Great Lakes are too big of a resource. Freshwater people depend on. People that look at that recreation that inspires our economy, why even take the risk to siphon a little bit of oil or gas out of the ground? And when I hear that, I think, all right, well, that's a fair question to ask. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the risk situation, how do we get most of the gasoline, or I guess most of the oil or gasoline, say, from southern Michigan to northern Michigan? Aren't there a lot of ships out there transporting it?
Well, that's right. We're literally at the end of the pipeline here in Michigan. Most of the gasoline that we get in Michigan comes from the Gulf Coast and has to be transported either by pipeline or truck. If you look at the statistics, most of your risk comes from transportation. It's not the drilling. You know, people have this concept of the old Oklahoma oil geysers coming up, and that's not the way oil and gas is drilled anymore. There's extensive regulation. The industry has changed dramatically during the last 50 years, but you always have the risk in transportation, whether it's shipping or trucks or pipelines, of having accidents or leaks. And so if you talk about directional drilling, you're actually reducing that risk because you don't have to transport that product so far. And also the geologist told us when they looked at this issue that you would lessen risk of any oil getting into the Great Lakes if there ever was some kind of seismic activity, earthquake or something of that nature, and that oil is not down there anymore. It certainly isn't going to be able to leak into the lakes.
Well, that's true, I guess, if you want to look way out in case that happens and really do a risk analysis. WTCM News Talk 580. We'll wrap up here in a moment. The call to lift the ban on drilling under the Great Lakes possibly could be introduced. You say you do have a couple legislators that have talked to you and are interested maybe in introducing a bill.
Oh, that's correct.
All right, but then if it did pass, you'd still have to get through the feds, too. So if anything's going to happen, it'd be quite a while, wouldn't it, before something like that could happen?
Yeah, I think so, although, you know, with public opinion shifting, it could change more quickly, but we'll just have to wait and see.
All right, a couple of quick calls for Russ. Rachel's in Traverse City. Hello, Rachel.
Yes, I heard him say a key word, which is speculation, and I would like to see. I don't think a lot of people understand that the oil market is based upon speculation. Just like a couple weeks ago, it went down when Congress was considering lifting the oil ban in the oceans.
Right.
And I think that's key. People don't realize it's not based upon the amount of oil we get up. It's based upon a speculation.
It's based on external events, whether it's a burst pipeline, I guess, or a possibility of war breaking out in an oil-producing nation, or possibility that somebody's going to exploit their natural resources and increase the supply. Is that right?
Right.
Do you agree with that, Russ?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. What you've got is people investing money on what they think the market will do, whether that's oil or pork bellies. It's a risk. It's a gamble. And so the signals that we send to that market are important to in terms of the price.
All right, and let's go to Harold in Kalkaska for Russ Harding. Hello, Harold.
Yes, good morning. I'd like to ask your guest, Mr. Harding, once you directional drill, are you still capable of horizontal drilling?
Well, you can, of course, horizontal drill if you've got the oil and gas down there. Same with directional drilling. Now, I wouldn't be in favor, nor would I think most people want to see any, you know, horizontal drilling in the Great Lakes. You would want to directionally drill now so you wouldn't have any impact in the lake itself or any risk of leakage in the Great Lakes. Once you do directionally drill, or in the case if you're on land and you're horizontal or vertically drilling, what you end up with at the end of that, though, is a requirement that be closed. So it has to be filled in with concrete and sealed, and all those wells that are permanently closed.
All right, Harold?
That's answered my question. Thank you.
Thanks. Hey, and as far as you said there were requests in the 1990s from oil companies to slant drill under the U.S., there were a few successful slant drills. Mm-hmm. That's what led to the discussion and then the ban in 2000. Was that primarily Lake Michigan, or what do you know about as far as if the ban were lifted today, where would a lot of the slant drilling most likely take place?
Well, I think at that time, as I recall talking to the oil companies, the most focused interest was actually on the Lake Huron side.
Okay.
And there was an area there that they felt, and again, it's a risk they take. They have to invest in, you know, even with our sophisticated geologic techniques we have, you don't really ever know exactly where the oil and gas is until you drill for it. But I would expect you'd see some on both sides, but I think actually Lake Huron probably is where the more immediate interest would be.
All right. I thank Mr. Russ Harding from the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. They are on the web. Is it mackinac.org, right?
That's correct.
And it's Mackinac with a C on the end, mackinac.org, although we pronounce it Mackinac. And lots of updates. If you want to look at a website that focuses on issues in Michigan, you can read research, you can read commentary, you can read links to news articles about a lot of the issues. They also have a link to their website, Michigan Votes. And you can look up easily there how your legislator has voted on certain issues, information-packed website from the Mackinac Center. Russ Harding, thanks for your time today.
Well, thanks, Ron. Enjoyed it.